Hey everyone, this is Stelly FD with the Startup Chat podcast. In today's episode, we're going to talk about investors being people too.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life, and hopefully while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yet. We want you to do your best.
Yeah, and this is Heaton, and we're just going to jump right into it. So we really haven't talked about fundraising a lot, and we have a lot of thoughts on fundraising because both of us have been through fundraising ourselves, as well as seen a lot of people get funded and not get funded, even though they tried. And so we thought we'd talk about it more about from the perspective of helping entrepreneurs understand investors better, right? And I think the fundamental thing we want to start with is like investors are people too. They're just like you and I and any other human being, and they just happen to have money that you want. And from there, I'm going to let Stelly start with the story, a high level story of a friend from, I think yesterday. You talked to him yesterday, right?
Yeah, I talked to him yesterday. And also just to set the scene, we're doing this episode again virtually, so over Skype. We weren't able to meet up today. I have a terrible pain in the tooth, so I'll have to do a visit to a dentist right after this. So the story is very simple. Like, I was talking to a very good friend of mine yesterday who basically raised money for the very first time in his business a year ago. And when they raised money from an investor or from a VC firm that, you know, from everything that I gathered about them at that time and everything I knew about them, I was not that excited about. It seemed like a good kind of, I don't know, a VC firm that is maybe not as experienced in investing in really great startups. And so I had my doubts on like what they're going to bring to the table or not. But my friend back then, because it was the very first time he raised money, was just like overly excited about it and was overly kind of hyping the partners and the investors there and overly buying into how much they love his startup and how much they're going to help him and how much they're going to support him and how great of investors they are. And he was just like super excited about raising money from them, which on the one hand, I understand and understood back then, but it also worried me a little bit because it felt super naive. And yesterday when I talked to him, so over the last few weeks, what turned out to happen is that, you know, he and his startup needed to raise more money. That investor had committed already and told them, don't worry, we're going to do the bridge. And then they did change their mind in the last second. And kind of put them in a tough position. Obviously, they're responsible themselves for being in a tough position financially or not, or trusting people's words versus knowing that you haven't raised shit until the money hit the bank. But still, they're now like kind of heartbroken to a certain extent, right? And like, oh, these people don't love us as much as they always said, and we can't fully, totally just trust on their word. And they kind of, it's like the first time somebody broke your heart. It's like, oh, you know, this love thing is great, but I need to be careful with this, or it can also go bad. So it's kind of, on the one hand, I feel a healthy process, just him gaining more experience and like working with investors. But also kind of like it bums me out that I wasn't able to help avoid that in a better way. And it made me realize that, you know, it's an emotional game. And especially when you do it for the first time and you involve investors in your company, you need to understand investors, their motivations, their pressures, the realities and the gravity of their universe and the kind of the rules they play with. And I think that can make for you being a better company to invest in, but also for you picking the better investors or managing your own expectations better with what you think investors can bring to the table or not.
Yeah. We should even talk about like the different types of investors. There's seed investors. Many seed investors have use their own money. So they're investing with their own money and the pressure is a little different for them. Right. And it's mostly their own decision making of whether to fund a company or not. And so it's much easier when you are dealing with a single or a few set of seed investors, because it's usually their own decision making. But then as you start getting into people that have raised funds themselves, then they have multiple different parties to account for, whether it's their own partners or you know, the investors and limited partners that gave them money, right? Or their own cycles of raising new funds. So what often happens is that, like, especially people who are raising money for the first or even second time, they don't really understand the dynamics of the investor world, right? And it's not because they don't bother to, it's just because they don't think about it, right? Mm. They don't think about, like, how did this person get money and how does that impact their own timing and decision making, right? And so I think it's just often seems like, oh, they're in power and they're doing this douchebaggy stuff to me, but it traces back to something that's going on in their firm. Right? Like, what if, like, the last three deals they did are all blowing up right now? Mm-hmm. And your deal might be great. It might be great, but, like, they might not be have any power in the firm for the moment because all their deals are blowing up. So then the last thing anyone wants to hear is about this new awesome thing that the partner wants to invest in, right? So there's so many different things like that happening at a level where it's very likely you won't ever be able to understand those things very easily. So you have to take into account this sort of stuff that you don't even know that's going on.
Yeah, I mean, that's super important. It's just like getting to know the person and understanding what are their incentives, what are their motivations, what is the experience level. That in the story that I shared, the partner at that VC firm was the newest partner in the firm. And I think they were one of the first deals that he brought, that he kind of closed for the firm. So on the one hand, that's exciting because that partner was like all over them and so excited about them. And it was like the deal, probably the first company in that firm that he invested in. So that's awesome. But on the flip side, there might be some inexperience there. There might be, you know, that partner might not carry as much weight in the firm as other partners. There's a lot to be considered. What is going to happen to this partner's time once, you know, he doesn't just have one deal, but now he has like four or five over the next 2 years. These types of things, I think that, I don't know. So I love the tip that's basically like, understand what the dynamics are. Is this an angel investor? Is this a VC? Is this a senior partner, junior partner? What is the portfolio of that VC firm looking like? How much more money do they have to allocate? Are they already fundraising for the next fund? And is that going to be easy or hard? They might have trouble raising more money for the next fund. And that might very much impact, you know, what they're going to do for you.
There's one simple hack, which is you would just look at the firm's portfolio and see if that firm has invested in companies that have had up rounds or that are at least for the moment seemingly successful. And if they have, then it's likely that that firm is going to be around for a while. But the problem is, even with that thinking, you might not know the ownership, right, the firm has and how instrumental that deal is to their front, right? That's why you'll see a lot of things where someone might have put a really small check in. Right. And yet they can put some one partner might have done that and they put their logo on the firm's website. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Or like, you know, somebody through an acquisition. Right. So I've seen that before, too. Right. And stuff like that. So like, but it is an indicator. Right. Are they investing in good companies that seem to be doing well right now?
The other thing is, I think that what you should do is, in the early relationship building phase of talking to this investor, you should go through an exercise of thinking through what is going to happen when things are not going well. Like, and that's a very honest, it might be an uncomfortable question to ask for some people, but it's a very important question to ask. Hey, you know, I'm sure like we get along, you are excited about what we're trying to do, we're excited about whatever you bring to the table, but let's just, as an exercise, think through how do both of us will most likely react when things are not going well? What do I have to expect from you as an investor when we're not hitting our numbers? Or if the market shifts or our competitor is, you know, more aggressive or whatever, when things don't go well, what should I expect from you and what do you expect from me? Well, you know, what is the kind of behavior that you want to see in a startup or in an entrepreneur when things go really, really bad? And like just doing that mental exercise and seeing how the investor will respond, what kind of things they will say, can be a very healthy exercise in kind of just managing expectations. And that's a question that I would ask. Like when I ask for referrals from an investor, I would never just ask for the successful ones. I would ask, can you put me in touch with a startup that didn't work out? Right, where you guys invested in.
I'd even take the flip, Steli, and I'd say, like, you should go find them. Forget even intro you. Don't even worry about the intro. Go find the companies that you know have been through hard times while that investor was involved, regardless of whether the investor intros you or not. It doesn't matter, right? Like, founders want to help other founders naturally, especially when it comes to investors. And honestly, it's probably the biggest tip that I'm going to keep repeating, but it's like, you have to use other founders. they're the ones that are going to help you more than anybody else in this process.
So coming back to the theme of like investors being people too, you need to understand that the like, and we made an episode, we recorded an episode that you, that everybody can listen to of like, not like heroes are humans, something to that effect, right? Not dehumanizing your mentors or your heroes, because they're, everybody's just a human being.
That's right.
And that really applies heavily to investors as well. These people obviously many of them are smart. Some of them had success, but that doesn't make them gods, right? They have pressures. They have commitments. They might be rational. They might have really strong biases. They might react in a very imperfect way in certain situations. So it's great to be excited about, you know, getting an investor to be involved. But when you're overly excited, when you think, wow, this is going to be a monumental thing for a company, no investor is going to make your company successful or not successful. No investor is going to determine the success of the business at the end of the day. If they are, then you're a really shitty startup. You know, because it means that they had so much power, they could have probably made it without you. You want an investor that will support you, but at the end of the day, you're either going to make this company a success or not. And no matter how big the name investor, the name of the firm is or the investor, they won't make this a success. They might be able to help you, but they're not going to be the determining factor. So I think that it's good to be excited, but if it's too much excitement, ask yourself if you're, you know, putting too many hopes on that, or if you're, if you're looking at that too much as a success already, like a milestone, which it shouldn't. Of course, it's an important thing to raise money and secure financing, but it is not, you know, that huge of a signal that you're going to succeed. Not at all.
Yeah, I mean, I think those reasons are actually why people feel so different about investors than they do about most other kind of relationships that they have or relationships they're trying to build, is because the person has the power inherently in people's minds because they have the power to make your business at least stay alive, right? That's really what it boils down to, and let you continue doing what you love to do as a founder, as an entrepreneur. And so I think that that thinking, I love what you're saying there. And I love trying to dispel that myth that like, you know, this thing's such a big milestone. What it is essentially an obligation you have in your company is to raise money. Like, and this goes to like other things that I've seen people do. Like they try to say that, like, you know, I'm wasting time raising money and I can't work on my product. Right. And it's like, well, no, you're building a relationship with a partner that's going to help you build your business. Yep. They're a partner. So I think that that terminology, like it gets thrown around sometimes, but essentially you're trying to look for a good partner. What are the characteristics of a good partner? Well, number one, you get along with them. Number two, you kind of have some expectation of what's going to happen when things are bad. Right. And then number three, like, you know, where the lines are of like what both parties, you know, what the expectations are and what both parties are going to provide. Now, let's talk about the expectation really quickly, because I'm sure you're going to have some thoughts on this, Steli, on how to set those really well. But like something that's really, really the most common thing I think founders forget is that investing is an investor's business. Their goal is to make money on it. And that's what's in their mind, right? That's the number one thing. And more importantly, people, just like you're trying to raise money and then you're trying to build a business and then you're going to hopefully sell it, make money, go IPO, whatever, they have taken money to make more money, just like you're going to do. So in their context, they have these limited partners, they've given them money, and their obligation is to make that money turn into more money so that everybody makes more money. Because like the LPs are usually like hedge funds, sometimes really wealthy individuals, other types of investing entities like college funds and stuff like that, endowment funds, family funds. And they've all given these venture capitalists money as part of an allocation of their own wealth. Right. And it's usually called, it's like risk capital. It's like the riskiest capital historically. And in that context, like if you treat the investor in that way, that like it's a business relationship and they're a partner, that's the most appropriate way to do it, aligned with the fact that you're taking their money to make more money.
Yeah. And I think just to throw like a analogy out there, although it's not a perfect fit, but just to like shake the people's expectation, I think, in the right way. If you found the house you want to buy and you go to a number of banks and you get a financing done with a bank, you know, you'll be happy about that financing. You'll obviously be even happier about, you know, the purchase of the house if it's, you know, the house that you want to have. But you're not going to be like talking about your banker in any like you're not going to be running around and be like, oh my God, this bank gave me money and this banker is amazing and this banker is going to make a... You look at typically people look at that financing kind of a lot more rational. Like, did we get good terms?
I love that.
Right? Is this really going to help us? Like, can we pay this back? They'll think very rational. But then an investor, to a certain extent, is like a bank. It's a financier. It's giving you money and it expects a return to help you accomplish something. And there, all of a sudden, it's like this magical relationship. And this person is going to make all the difference in your life. And this is going to make everything better. And I think that, of course, investors hopefully bring a bit more to the table than just pure money. But I don't think you can completely bank on that.
Yeah, it's the fundamental thing. The fundamental thing they're bringing you is money, right? Yes. And there's a transaction that they're trying to do there where it's like, I give you money, and in some amount of time, you make that money mean more money for me, right? And that's what they're doing. That's what their goal is with every investment, believe it or not, right?
Yes. So let's wrap this up with a tip. My tip is a little bit more unusual, but I want, you said something that really tricked it off. You know, you said, these people, they're raising money to make more money. They have obligations. You need to understand them.
Yeah.
That's their business. And this is really an important point to me. I think that as a founder, the psychology you come into relationship with is you're trying to find love. You're trying to find somebody that you're going to be married to for the next 5 to 8 years, however long it's going to take for the full conclusion of what you're trying to build. An investor is, you know, I joked on stage, quote unquote, a professional. Like, they're dating and they're going to continue dating and they're going to be flirting and they're going to build a portfolio of people they have relationships with, right? And because they're not going to bet everything on the line for the next 8 years on just your venture. They're going to build a portfolio of many other companies. And that difference in dynamic is an important one. I think it doesn't serve the investor well or you to madly fall in love and think this is going to be a super, you know, exclusive relationship, because you're creating expectations that are impossible for the investor to keep. And then you're going to be heartbroken down the line, which is going to be bad for both parties. But I also don't think that you have to be like super cynical about it and be like, oh, these investors are all horrible. No, they're not, right? You just have to be realistic about who you're getting in bed with, quote unquote, or what kind of a relationship this is, and try to figure out a way to really benefit them and get benefit back and make this a really productive relationship. My number one tip is don't be overly emotional. This is a business relationship. This is a business transaction. Of course, you're trying to find somebody you can work well with. This is good business sense, but don't fall madly in love. Don't be insanely excited. Just check your emotions. This is a business relationship. And if you get overly emotional, it probably points to you gonna get disappointed down the line in one way or another.
Yep. And my big tip is that you have to remember that what you're doing here is first and foremost building a relationship with another human being. And that's fundamental. The transaction of that relationship is the business. And then you have like any emotions around it and opinions and feelings and all those kind of things. So your first few meetings with these investors and those investors, you should treat it like you're literally trying to figure out if it makes sense to work together, just like in a business development relationship or even like dating, you know, as commonly has been used. It's like you're building to a place of figuring out whether you're going to continue the relationship or not. And if you think of it like that and you think of it as the factors that are required to make the partnership work, then I think you're just going to have a different frame of mind than thinking of it like, oh, these people are like God. Right? And they control my destiny. That's not true at all. Yep. You control your destiny.
And nobody else. That's a beautiful way to wrap up this episode.
All right.
For everyone out there, make sure, if you're not part of our community on Facebook yet, make sure to go to thestartupchat.com/FB for Facebook and join the Facebook group. We're, you know, I think over 700 entrepreneurs on there, strong, growing every day. So make sure to be part of the conversation there. And if you enjoyed this episode and past episodes, and you're on iTunes, just get on there, give us a review, give us a few stars. The more reviews we get, the more people will find out about this podcast, the bigger the community is going to grow, and hopefully we're all going to benefit from that.
That's right.
All right, that's a wrap.
We'll hear you soon.
Bye.